See, Walker called me later that evening. Should I just tell what happened?
Yeah, I guess.
From what I understand. So there was a, I told Jeff that that would probably be a conversation today. So yesterday at our egg hunt, there was a moment where one of our people got a little upset and spoke kind of rashly and harshly to a couple of individuals. So one person was Alicia Brown. Like, they spoke harshly to Alicia, and then to one of the Asian mothers who was out at the egg hunt, just because these individuals weren't, like, their kids weren't listening. So that's what happened with the Asian lady. Her kid wasn't listening, so then he said, hey, your kid needs to stop doing what he's doing and pay attention, be respectful. And then to Alicia, baby Willow, who is like not even one. Well, I guess she is one.
Oh, yeah.
She was picking up some eggs because she's a baby. That's what babies do. And he basically says to her, you need to get your kid under control. Be watching her. And I was like,
that's not the words I heard.
What did you hear?
I heard that you're a bad mother and you need to get your kid under control.
Oh my goodness. So who's some
I don't know who it was.
I Ben Mariner. Oh. I didn't know if I should say him. Yeah. But yeah. So wow. He just was very and I just chalked it up to maybe he was having a bad day, but it should have never happened because we did have visitors, and the fact that he did speak to a visitor that way made me upset. And so then I was like, okay, I could easily go after Ben and say, hey, I think you need to apologize. But I was like, I have two elders here. I'm going to just put it in y'all's hand and y'all take care of it. So Steve called me yesterday, and I called Alicia after. And he had talked with Ross, and Ross and Ben had had a conversation where it seemed as if Ben didn't have a plan to necessarily apologize, but he acknowledged his wrong. And so Ross just basically said, I think you need to apologize to Alicia the next time you see her. And so we will hear what happens after that. So,
yeah, because before you came over, I was standing out in the middle of the road, but
yeah,
before you came over, Ben and Julie came and walked, and they were just normal, you know. They didn't say anything about.
You thought he was normal when you know, walking back. I saw him. He
was.
By
he was. So he was. Whenever he came in. So whenever I came out, which was at the time you were in the road.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was he was almost at the building when I met him.
Yeah.
And he was happy, and they were both chatting with me and shook
had
my
no
hand.
No clue
and
there was anything wrong.
So I would have never guessed it was Ben.
Yeah.
But when you said it, I could see Ben. I mean, Ben jokes around a lot. But yeah. This was not a joke.
It was,
so,
yeah.
No,
was
so
like,
my, the after effect that I heard of it was not. It was, she went home crying because it was real, like a real comment, not a not Ben's normal joking with
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So it was
I
just,
didn't hear the bad mother. I was standing there. That's I didn't
the
hear
way,
bad mother.
And so that's the way I heard it. So it doesn't mean that that's really what it...
Yeah. I don't think he ever communicated that. He just said, you need to be watching your kid.
Yeah, because I could see him joking saying that. But it, because it became really serious and she took it as serious.
Yeah. And it apparently hurt the Asian lady's feelings too. Mm-hmm. To the point where there were a couple of our people. So like Bryant was like very... offended by this moment, and he was like very I'm about to do this to, and I'm like, well, nope, unacceptable. This is a kids event, and the reality of it is we have elders here and they can take care of that. That's not your job to try to handle it. And I had Ben had said, so I don't know how Ben and Julie came over, because I didn't ask them to be a part of, but I'm glad that they came and volunteered in, to help. But
they came kind of late because I was with them out here
okay.
when everybody was gone talking to the
Crawford's. I don't remember them being out there because there's when they me came and back. Some other people.
Oh, yeah,
like, because we left almost the same room.
Because he was like, I went straight over,
and he was coming. They were coming back.
All the kids came out.
So almost as if they got kicked out
on the ground, and we were done. And some of the kids started trying to.
They didn't say that for
like
days.
Oh, Julie,
yeah,
way less.
Yeah.
Or did they actually go back over?
Julie did, but I don't think.
Yeah, Julie came back, and she was talking to, I think, Alec or someone. I don't remember who the person she was talking to. But Ben had walked already back to the church.
I was talking to him when you texted us, it was time to exit.
Okay.
I saw him in the foyer, told him I was doing that. He said, I'm doing that too. And went over. And so he thought he was part of the volunteer crew.
His name was on the email.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. So I was going to go look it up.
His name was on the email.
I remember seeing Ben, him, and I was like, I was like, Maringer.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
He was on the email.
Okay, then never mind. I guess I did ask. He did get a little snappy with me, like, a few minutes prior to him. Debbie was great about it, where she just said, that's Ben's personality. He's a jokester. I've never seen Ben, like, get, like, angry with anyone. And so I just kind of chalked it up to, like, just Ben being just trying to joke, but it came off maybe it was taken more forceful than what he actually meant it as. So, yeah.
So, Walker talked with Ben, and I guess Ben called Ross, or Ross called Ben, or something.
I guess Ross called Ben, and then I called Alicia after just to apologize, and I said, "I'm sorry that happened. That should have never happened." I know your husband and him had a conversation, and I pray that he's going to do the next step of just apologizing, just trying to kind of make the bridge. Just, I felt kind of responsible because, like, this was an event that I put on, so I felt like I needed to apologize to Alicia.
It wasn't your fault, though.
No, it wasn't, but I think it, like, definitely made Alicia feel better with me calling and just acknowledging that should have never happened, so...
Okay, well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. I was like, the devil is busy. Because, I mean, it goes back to scripture. Like, we're not wrestling against people. We're wrestling against the principalities, you know, so.
Anything else about yesterday that we learned from? For...
Well, I think we've talked about it leading up to this, but... It's still evident that it is a time when people who don't traditionally go to church will go to church, and their families will bring them to church. So there was a lot of visitors, and I mean, a lot of people here, but there was a lot of our normal people that were gone. It's like, wow, you know, so a lot of visitors. And I think, again, it's just something to be mindful of and just to be aware of is it still meaningful to people? Maybe it's a tradition, but it gets them in the door. So it was great to see, but then the other is, well, how do we connect with them? You know, it's like, how do we, you know, make sure that, you know, we find a way to shake their hand? And, you know, you did a great job, I think, you know, in what you said at the closing, but, you know, it's just a good opportunity. We need to, you know, treat Easter and Christmas like a special opportunity. And not that we hold these days above other days, but the world does. And so it just, you know, again, I was just, really happy to see all the visitors there. And again, we may not be as church as a culture as we used to be, but there's still some tradition and it's still a draw on Easter.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's the one, maybe probably the only time those individuals will come. And if that is the only time they'll come, if they can receive Jesus and the 30 minutes that they're sitting through a sermon or, you know, whatever, that's a win, I think. So. Yeah.
And even those that didn't go in, that just in the foyer,
right,
that's a win too.
Yeah, they were all, I mean, what I experienced yesterday as we were practicing our hand motions to I Know My Redeemer Lives in the foyer, they all stopped and they were all paying attention to us actually doing that and singing that. There was one mom who said, that's really neat. I don't know if she was a Christian. I didn't have enough time to like actually form a conversation with her. Outside of like her saying that was really neat, I would love my kids to participate in something like that. And so I'm like, that's neat for her to see, like, we actively are trying to, like, make our next generation be active members of our, what we're doing here.
I can't imagine a circumstance where I'd feel bad about somebody being here that the Spirit may move.
Yeah, right.
A word of the sermon, a kid singing a song,
right.
Right.
Person sitting next to them, you know?
Right.
I mean, 99% of them may walk out of here and never darken a door again.
Yeah.
You never know. You just never know.
Yeah.
But I have a sense we might see a few back. I mean, even like, I have no idea she didn't say this, but Mike Lotek's mom,
yeah.
You know, is you know, she's been back in the area for a while. But and then I talked to another lady that, I don't even remember what the context was, but had been in church, but had fallen out of church. The numbers of those that are growing, mm-hmm. who have, you know, been somewhere, maybe they moved and they moved back, but now they're just not going anywhere. Oh, I knew what it was. It was Mark and Lindsay's mom. Mark.
Oh, yeah.
Suddenly forgot the last name. Lindsay.
Minton.
Yeah. So she was Episcopalian by background. Her church closed. I mean, this is kind of the Protestant liberal denominations are not doing well. They can't keep the doors open right now. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, here she was yesterday. So, and really enjoyed it. You know, so those kinds of things. Again, it's a connection through. She used to be a church person. She's fallen out of community.
Yeah.
And so I think being attentive to folks like that, now, will she come back? Don't know. But I think that's a good opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. Thanks for all you guys' work on all that. It's all doing well.
All right. Senior minister update.
We have on two Sundays, we have Ethan coming in for a preaching, a tryout, I guess that's what we call it. And so Jeff talked to him today. He's going to have lunch with him on Wednesday.
Breakfast on Wednesday.
And so we need to figure out what we want to do. You know, we felt like we needed to do more than just have him preach, but have a time that we meet with him. So one option is that have a dinner, a time for the elders and their wives, and Jeff and Ross and your wives. To come.
And proposing this model as a way for any candidate.
Yeah, right.
In their
yeah,
so first
what we'll
visit.
Do here, we should do for the rest of the candidates.
Yeah.
Kind of do the same thing. And so the one option is Sunday or Saturday night, just meet somebody's house and I guess just have dessert. Or we could do a meal. And then the other one is Saturday night and then Sunday lunch after church. Now, it was kind of mentioned going to a restaurant, but I don't think that would work because you can't really meet. So that if we did a Sunday, maybe we just gather in the cafe with everybody. We just have some pizza and just some drinks and stuff there. And that would be half there, which would be three, possibly four couples. Oh, you won't be around, will you?
Yeah.
Oh, you will? I thought you'd get the Masters.
That's next weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, boo.
So so we'd have, I guess, six shepherding couples and our interns. Is that what we call you guys?
Eight.
Depends on who you ask. Yeah. Wannabes.
Wannabes.
So if he's new on this in training or something.
Five. Yeah, six and eight.
Yeah.
So split six, it up seven. At four and four.
So four and four, is that too much?
What do you mean? Too many people?
Is that too many people?
So it's not bad. So I've been in all the intern ones, or for the youth minister ones.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so we did with Nathan, we did with all the other candidates, the same kind of thing, where all of our committee, or most of our committee, came for a dinner somewhere.
Okay.
So we usually had probably 8 to 10 of us there, plus then the candidate and their wife, if they had a wife.
Yeah.
And it works okay. So okay. You just have to find somewhere that has a big enough table to where you can all sit at one table.
Yeah.
As opposed to having, because we were even at Hacienda the other day with and Olivia and the Milligans. And the Milligans heard nothing that happened at this end because they were at the far end.
Yeah. So,
but I think with the Brockingtons here, Dave, I think you guys could hear everything going on in the conversation generally.
Yeah.
Some of the things are bright.
They should have been in the middle.
Yes.
Instead of on one end.
Correct.
With their kids, you know.
That was the issue. Then, yeah. So I think we could probably do the same thing, just have them right in the middle and then around.
At a restaurant?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, see, I guess
it's easier. It's easier not to worry about it, about the food and things. The ones I would suggest around the area.
Well, I would first say no.
So
and I think we should take a vote first. And I just
just so that I know from the experiences that I've had. So the only ones that I've been sort of happy at, where you didn't have to worry so much, there was, and Nathan, we didn't take you there. It was one that Lane picked out. It's like not Chili's, it's Chevy's, I think. Up on the Rock Road, I think is where it's at, or somewhere.
It's on Olive.
Yeah. So that one was really well done. So we had a nice lot of space. It wasn't too noisy, at least that day that we went. But that's one place. And
I would first say no. I would say let's talk about it and see what people are comfortable with.
So just to give you places, because as we've been to lots of different places. Right. And some of them were so noisy and so much movement, you couldn't hear anything. So, like, here has its problems with hearing, you're hearing nothing.
Yeah.
But those two locations are the only two that in town that I've found so far that are quiet enough to hear.
Can I speak from the other side, the people actually being interviewed? Because I remember when I came for an interview, we went to some restaurant. I can't remember what it was, like some Italian restaurant. Do y'all remember it?
There's a lot of those around here.
Yeah, but we went, I don't know. Anyways, and I'll say it was really hard for me to stay focused the whole time in the restaurant. So I like the idea of doing it something here, maybe at the circle tables, or I like the cafe idea because like then you're able to actually hear and all the distractions are already out. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? I mean, maybe people are better than me with focusing. I tend to be really good at focusing, but it just seemed like every time I look around.
Yeah, my first choice would be at a home. Second choice would be here, if we could work it.
Do we have two homes? I think I never talked to Susan, but probably a Saturday night we could have it, and just where we have, just have desserts.
I did one at your house and one at Keaton and Kathy's, I believe, I think in a home is a really good option.
Yeah.
Just got to have someone to cook.
Yeah.
Or buy pizza.
What we did with you, we just ordered fried chicken and we just did that, which was really easy. Mm-hmm. And it was just, there were just two couples there plus you. That was only five of us. Yeah. Four or five. So anybody else, any input?
I'm going to be gone, but my input is that, or at least gone for this one, that the home is probably better than here in the sense that I think once you move it here, it does feel a little bit more like an interview. Whereas in the home, there's more interaction. It's more of a fellowship, I would say. But I think that's better than a restaurant.
Can somebody offer their home for Sunday?
I can talk to my wife. I'll let you know. I mean, we got close to David and it'd be easy for us. So.
Okay. Okay. And so then what do we want to do? Will we just order stuff and bring in for food? Or probably for lunch we'd have to do that. I still lean towards probably Saturday night, make it having a 6:30 just a dessert fellowship to that.
And it's going to simplify things for Susan a lot.
Yeah, and just all the couples just bring some kind of dessert.
Yeah, do a dessert.
Yeah. And then for
lunch,
for you, just a lunch, just getting, I don't know, pizza or something like that, and not have your wife cook it.
Okay.
And then we just, I guess, use the.
And the goal of both events is the same thing. It's just fellowship, familiarity. Is there I just want to flesh that out a little bit, because the conversation can go anywhere, or yeah. Are there certain things we want to make sure we talk about?
We'll have
about
some questions. I was kind of getting some questions. I'll go look. Today I sat down to look for the questions for when we had our interview, and something came up, and I never got back to it. Okay. So I got it somewhere in my computer.
Taxes. The conversation.
What? Taxes. Taxes, yeah, that was part
oh,
of it.
Oh, yeah. When we did the youth minister, we had a couple for the get-togethers like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And we probably don't want the same... Different questions on Saturday from Sunday,
yeah, yeah.
Presumably, so you don't mm-hmm. cover the same all the same ground
they
again.
Would have to, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Is, yeah, yeah, mix it up for them, but then yeah, I don't know. Others.
So, and we got to, it would be great if we can divide it up evenly. Would be a, the best way of doing it. So I'll get an email out and get people to. It'll be a first come first serve. So if you can't do one and can do the other, get your name in there quickly. Okay, so we'll, does that sound good?
Sure.
Everybody? And that'll be for them, and we'll do the same thing with the others if we have others. So now we talk about, Ethan seemed to be at the top of the list, and what are your opinions about the others? And it's kind of, do we invite one or two of the others to come in? I guess we can talk individually of Michael, Josh, and Patrick.
Well, didn't we leave the last meeting sort of leaning towards Ethan and Patrick?
It was Ethan, then Patrick and Michael were so close.
Oh.
So,
and we hadn't had the second with Patrick at the time. Yeah.
So let's talk about the second Zoom with Patrick. After that, do you think he's worth bringing in to this? Let's just talk about the Zoom. What are your reflections on the Zoom? I'll tell you, Steve Walker's, I talked to him today, and he was concerned just with kind of with the stories he told. You know, there was twice when it was just it was unwise. Now, it was an interesting story with it all, so I don't know what all you could go with that. But then just he was kind of not listening to the elders when they made some requests of him. So that was a concern for him.
Yeah, the big thing is, as I think everybody probably feels the same, is this guy is still hurting. He seems bruised. And that's not, I don't know if that's good or bad. It's probably not, you know, an ideal candidate. It doesn't make him a bad person, right? But it seems like he's hurting. And, you know, I wrote down some things, and I kind of got the same feeling of the last 6 months with Jeremy Picker, where Jeremy's a great guy, but he's talking, and it's like, it's all feelings. And I can't understand how to make it right. I don't know what it is. And again, I think Jeremy's a great guy, but that's what my sense was talking with Patrick is, sounds like a good guy, but I don't know how I could coach you or help you or make you better, or what structures we could put in place to have this happen. Those were my big points. The others, you know, kind of like what you were saying is, you know, he's a preacher and his job is communicating a story. And he's had several months to think about what happened, but it just seemed like a stream of consciousness. It didn't really seem to be put together. And for a preacher, you'd think he'd be able to be real concise, real clear. You know, here's what happened, kind of put a story together. And it's like, well, it just rambled a lot. And you know, I just think he was, it was almost a therapy session in some senses. And so that's, again, these are all subjective, but those are kind of my thoughts.
I think somebody echoed it in the ending thing. I mean, that was really long. So just so you guys know, you guys were really talking a lot. I'm like, yeah. Okay, finally got through with Patrick. And like, oh my goodness, you guys talked almost as long as he did. But the thing about it is, somebody brought it up about him, that all the questions that were asked were changed from the other interviews more specifically to his situation. which led him to start answering these, and nobody stopped him.
No, so all, we, just, not all, we just had two that we kind of switched up a little bit.
Yeah, and, but it allowed the openness for him to continue his story, which was good to a point because I wanted to know the story. That's,
yeah, we wanted that.
But the problem is that we didn't have any time limits on it, which I think that we should have said, we're going to stop you at this point. Because that we let him drag on for an hour and a half about his situation, and then that's all we remember now. We don't remember the answers to our questions. We remember his story. So I can tell you from day one to the end what his story is. But
yeah, but I don't put that on us.
I agree too. But
because I think that that is his lack of self-awareness. That's how much he was lost in his own story that he did not know how to self-edit.
How to stop at the time. And where the end.
And that, you know, he was, to be honest, bruised enough that we didn't want to interfere with the story, the narrative, because for one, we didn't know the outcome as it kind of drug along. So I don't know how we could have, you know, really cut it off per se. And maybe I'm saying that a little bit defensively since I asked the question, but it obviously got way too long. But that I got to put the onus of on that for that on him.
Right, I agree. And an example of that also is so like Josh Nix. You know, we'd ask the same questions, and they're somewhat open ended, and he, you know, just because. You know, his personality, he goes, what do you want me to say? And so he would just kind of start drifting off. And it's like, well, this is kind of open-ended. And he, so he, you know, didn't know how to handle it either. So, and the same, they were just open-ended questions.
I understand a minister's headset.
I came away from that Zoom interview feeling like Patrick had a lot of skills that would bless this body. And through some things that we could really put to work, and that he was an energetic, you know, sort of person. But I did also, not outweighing that, but offsetting that, were a couple of red flags in the discussion. He has had some months to process, and he did say he didn't know what he would do different. He didn't know what lessons God was teaching him yet. Through that, and so I wanted to hear a little bit more, you know, humble, here's my part, but this wasn't. But then also, get into a couple of specifics. When he said, you know, it was my sabbatical, I negotiated for that benefit, and he didn't want to be told how to use his sabbatical. And I really related to the elders, kind of dictating, hey, we're trying to accomplish this. We're giving you weeks off with salary, but let's accomplish certain things. And then the other one was the two occasions where he did some one-on-one time with a female, and red flags were pointed out to him. He was very defensive, but he didn't even seem to see why people... I think you believe that he didn't do anything wrong, but it's like, dude, let's not put yourself in that situation and just understand.
Especially the second time.
Saying not to put yourself in that situation. And so I absolutely believe it was innocent. But the challenge of seeing, why would they even challenge me? Or accuse me? Because I was also related to the elders. Again, not accusing him of wrong, but accusing him of being in that situation. Hey, let's do it a different way. I talk to my wife regularly about if there's somebody that wants to talk or something. It's like, well, let's you and I go together. And sometimes she wants that. Sometimes she's like, no, it's not necessary. But that's just common. It doesn't matter who the female what is, you know. And so I just wanted more. To see more of him saying, you know, in hindsight, I can see.
Maybe that wasn't the best decision or anything. Yeah, but he didn't.
But I, having said that, it's like, man, I want to see him heal and bring all the gifts and experience he has. I mean, he was at a church, and two of the three staff left for various reasons, and he was the guy for a while. Didn't melt about that. I was impressed. I don't know exactly how it went. He didn't elaborate, but it was like he wasn't woe is me to be in that situation. It's like, man, that takes some chutzpah to step into that and say, hey, you know, let them bring the other staff around. So anyway.
So bringing it all together, Dave, for you then, what would you, because I think you could see strengths,
yeah.
And we all could, and certainly experience, yeah. But then putting it all together, what would you?
I'm going to have to come down on the negative side,
okay.
And say he's got some work to do. I want to be rooting for him, but ultimately, you know, he's available. He could come early as we wanted to start him. It's like, well, you know, I don't. If we had him for another interview and liked him, I'd almost want to say, take 3 months of counseling and then you'll start in August or something, you know, to formally address him. Well, that's a pretty big hurdle to say, yeah, if he really needs that, this might not be the right place for him if I think that's what he needs. So.
Don, what do you think?
Well, I don't disagree with a lot of things you said. I guess I feel more definitely that he is bruised and that that's an issue. But I also kind of wonder, in a healthy environment, you know, what could happen? I agree with Dave that he had a lot of pluses and things that he initiated and really kind of felt like that he could, you know, bring about when other people couldn't bring it about, you know. So there were a lot of pluses there. I don't know personally the hurt that would be in inviting him to come and do the same thing we're doing with Ethan, you know, to get a better feel. But I think there's also, we still haven't, I don't think, gone the full length of what we need to do in following up with an elder or somebody that's going to kind of give us another side of the story, you know, and maybe more intel there to, but I mean, we're not making any commitments to either one of these guys, but I saw a lot of the same pluses, you know.
I like your point there about talking, and he invited us to, you know, hey, certainly talk to more folks that were involved, and that was very healthy.
That's healthy.
That he did that.
Yeah.
I mean, he seemed very open, seemed very transparent. I what I'm hoping is that he's not just blind to, like, what, that blind to some of the facts that would be more disturbing than what he presented, you know, or something. I just feel like, I don't know that we know enough to say it was a bad decision to speak with those two women, and you know, I don't know the nature of,
you know,
those things.
I guess my take on it is a little bit different, and that is, maybe this is not fair to him, but it was my take, is that I couldn't really understand why other people didn't advocate for him or trust him. Mm-hmm. In other words, to give him the benefit of the doubt, which is what didn't happen in those kind of situations, indicates to me that there's something either in his personality or in some other things that we're not privy to that would have allowed that kind of commentary from the elders, even if the elders were in the wrong. You know, that it just seems like it. They were definitely out to get rid of him. And so what was precipitating that desire? Because they have the same situation up there as we have here. They can't get anybody up in New England, and they need a preacher, and they've already lost people, and think of their turnover. And so why would they want to see a good man get away? It doesn't make sense in and of itself. They're still missing pieces.
Yeah, so one of the things that he even said, though, was about one of the accusations of why he should leave. So one was the women. The other was that he drove other ministers away.
Yeah.
That was something I'm like, that's sort of an interesting thing. And so I wonder if that's
Nathan's job. He was hard to get along with, is what he said.
So,
he
I mean, so we have to think about Nathan at that point. We have to think about Kaylin, any of the other people that are ministering. Are they going to have that same impact once he comes? because one of them had predated him, the other one came after. So just as we think through the three people that were...
And they'd left, both left.
Both of them left, yeah.
Now, whether that was fair...
whether or not that person blamed him for leaving, but the elders did blame him.
And the elders, I mean, one of the examples that came up to me just with where the elders may not have been really good communicators.
No, for sure not.
Is just when they sent him a letter to tell him he was going to be fired. Yeah. That was tacky. That was
Do you know any of those elders?
I don't know any of those elders. The only one I knew was George. It's just been too long ago.
So I've had that same experience. They sent me one to Hungary. It's always good. 3 weeks later, getting a letter. Great. I had no support. They did call me and tell me.
And it ended last week, right?
Yeah,
it took 3 weeks to get the letter.
Yeah, that, yeah, that did not. That was a fact.
That's true. I mean, that was good that was for about the elders. That was not done well for sure.
Yeah.
Have these interviews been recorded on Zoom? Could I watch these? I think I'd like to kind of get a... Not that I'd have like...
You have access to any.
I'd like to see, you know, who I could potentially be working with.
But, yeah. Yeah, but I don't know that we're at the stage of even know if we want to go forward. We're trying to assess because on the one end, he did have 20, you know, probably almost 20 years experience, right? 18. Yeah. Has a graduate degree from Harding Graduate School. That's... You know, I mean, that's top notch, top of his class. So very bright guy from this area. I mean, a lot of good, and as you said, I mean, jumped, you know, down there at Tidal River, volunteering, the area ministers things. I mean, I understand all that.
Yeah.
Takes a lot of initiative. Mm-hmm. And yet somehow maybe there's something more too. So
that's fair. And I don't know how we would ever get a read from the congregation, you know.
Yeah.
The elders may tell us one thing, but did the congregation go up in arms when they announced that?
Right.
Or did they go to his defense?
Did they celebrate?
Did they celebrate? Yeah.
They did.
Now, we might be able to find a little more about that, just because I have people, know people that are there from the congregational side of things, but... but I'm not sure. It'd be only if we felt like that was.
Yeah. So we've got to make a decision. What do we go forward with him or not? Go ahead.
I think it'd be appropriate if we could call the elders, one or two of the elders, and do we know any members of that congregation?
I'd have to check. I know people who know people, but I don't know if I know anybody directly now.
Jeff Childers was
it? No, that was a guy.
It was
LaCoste Arnold, Patty's dad, right?
But he had the other guy down.
Yeah, he had another guy down at Hardy.
Randy Harris.
No.
Yes.
No. Willingham.
Willingham.
Yeah.
He didn't mention Randy.
No. He did mention Randy.
Yeah, he knows Randy, but. Yeah. But Willingham is the one that spent time with him.
Ethan knows.
See if we know everyone.
We know everyone. You know everyone.
That's okay. And then I'll
Randy Harris was actually here before. So.
Of course he was.
I didn't know that.
It was way before you. It was probably 10 years before you got here.
Yeah, but he knows people who went here 20 years ago.
And you.
Mike Ireland is another one. Yeah. He's pretty old, isn't he?
Getting that way.
Yeah. Watch it.
You're young.
So, Dave, your recommendation is?
Call an elder and somebody in the congregation.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's put it a different way. I thought we said last time we were thinking of inviting two in. So, are we putting him on par with Michael Santiago then in terms of that second candidate? Or am I confused as to how the process is going to work? That we would want all these things clarified before we would decide to bring the second person in?
Well, you raise a good question, because if he's third, let's invite Michael in. For me, Michael's third. I'll just go ahead and share that.
Okay.
And what a great guy. And it's just, I mean, I'm struggling with such a young person.
Yeah.
coming in to lead. You know, if we had a position like Jeremy Picker used to have,
yeah,
still available, you know, then wow. And but it's quite a position to put him in.
Yeah.
And give it our body. And I tell you, I'll keep praying about it because he might be a real magnet for young families and young people.
Yeah.
Well, then that's part of what we're seeking. So
right.
I'm open to that. But I'm just,
So on that point, it's a separate conversation, but it's not the main conversation, but it goes back to what we mentioned at the last Elders meeting is for Jeremiah's replacement. You know, do we need 40 hours or 20 hours? And if it's 20 hours, can we hire somebody that does 20 hours also in family ministry? Because I'm thinking even Micah would be just terrific. But again, I'm ahead of myself, but I just don't want to, I don't think he's ready for the senior minister position, but man, what a great guy if we decided to do like a 2020 on those positions, but something to consider.
That was a suggestion that somebody else had made.
We talked about it last,
yeah.
Well, at least yeah. Walker and I, that I mean, what if we could use this as a, it would be a long shot because
yeah.
If he's doing youth ministry, does he want to really do children's ministry? Is he prepared to do children's ministry? But we know Michael's disposition, okay, and his people orientation. So what if he could do, throwing this out as a theoretical, similar to what Brett's saying, the children and outreach minister, because I think outreach is a strength, with the idea that he gets to move back to, he gets to move into a mission field, which is one of the things he said he wanted to do, which number two, he wants to be back in the Midwest, okay, because his wife is from southern Missouri, so we accomplish those things. And we work with him in terms of training to become, realizing that he won't be here forever, but in training to become a minister,
a preaching
minister. And a part of that would be even be preaching 6 times in the next year, 9 times or 12 times, whatever the magic number is. But I could even mentor him in preaching. So it is a restructuring of Jeremiah's position with that. And I have no idea whether he'd be interested or whether he'd even be as, for sure not as gifted. We already know that. But he does have a good personality. And so that was the wild card. Wild, you know, it's changing the way we see it and see Michael as in the mix, but in a different
right.
way. Seeing it more as staff, building a staff rather than having these specific slots.
And again, understanding that if we bring in somebody besides a Patrick that we've looked at, they will need to fill some gaps. And you know, we have to, how are we going to deal with that? So Patrick, maybe not as many gaps, but if we do bring in, you know, somebody else like an Ethan, we're going to need some assistance anyway.
At least we think. So
what?
At least we think he
would. Well, right.
So for Ethan, maybe not as much as
right.
the other two, but.
Right. And again, the senior minister is the primary focus right now,
correct.
But we just have to be aware of the others filling in those gaps.
So, we throw this out there. Do we move forward? We're doing it with Ethan. Do we invite the other two to come in and just see where that lands us? Well, one thing that'll do, I think it's good, you know, Ethan's at the top, and having some other people coming in to compare him to
mm-hmm.
could make him look better. And then we just see where God takes us with the other two, with some of those options. I'm just throwing it out as an idea.
When you say the other two, what do you mean?
Michael and Patrick. I think okay. we've decided Josh is...
That's what I was thinking. I just want to hear you say it.
Yeah.
So on that, I would not want to have Patrick here preaching unless we have background checks or you know, we go through his references.
Because
if, you know, he comes here and then there's some untowardness that happens, it's, you know, the flags have been raised and you know, we just need to do due diligence before that.
So we have Ethan coming in and we move forward with the possibilities of Patrick and Michael. Well, that would be checking the references.
If we can get somebody moving on references, you know, pretty quick, maybe we can turn that around and get an idea.
So with Jeff and Steve and I, we can cover the references.
The ones he's got on his list, and then, you know, if you guys can call just some of the, an elder or two that you just know, that would be great.
So did he have, Patrick didn't have anybody from the old church, did he? Like from
Wichita?
No, and he didn't have anybody at Manchester, did he?
No. Other than the former elder.
So everybody's back at, in Cersei, or...
Yeah.
That's not adequate.
I could see that for Manchester, so because he was fired from there.
Right, so, well, you could
But I would say Wichita may even be a better question. Why did he leave originally?
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah. Twice.
He didn't get fired from Wichita.
But the New England
one is the only one he was fired from. So only one firing.
Well, how do you know about the other?
Well,
he decided to leave.
Yeah. Well, he said that about both, right?
No, the decision was very clear that they had fired him at Manchester.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
He didn't say that about Wichita.
Yeah.
No, he kind of talked like he felt a call to go to the mission field.
At first he didn't, and then he was called again.
Somebody should ask about what happened there.
Say that again?
I think he was unemployed at that point, though.
Wichita?
Yeah.
Like, really?
Oh, really?
Well,
I thought they were
going to be reading into it, but I got the sense that in that second call, it started to look a little bit better.
He said no.
Checking accounts.
And then they came back again, and it got them really thinking about it. I took it a little different.
Okay. I read it between the lines.
Yeah.
I might be wrong.
Do you have the, is it Wichita Church, correct?
40s, right?
The north.
Yeah, it's 49.
So the other is, so Wednesday you're having your meeting with Ethan. And so I think that will be good to see if he's, you know, how many lines he's got in, you know.
Right.
He's got out, and if we're like number three on his list or where
he's
we are.
The only Church of Christ.
Because for us, I think he's a standard deviation ahead of the other candidates. And, you know, if that doesn't work out, I think, I'm with Brad, and, you know, no need to rush into this. You know, I think, you know, everything checks out with Patrick, bring him in, but I still think, you know, let's just see how that goes and if there's any other leads we can get.
So would you even vote to hold off on Michael at this point, maybe, until we get past Ethan and not feel like we have to compare candidates? I guess the reason we were trying to get two is for comparison. I don't know if that's... I'm asking.
I agree with you, but we would be using Michael. If we have no intention of hiring him, I like Michael, but I don't think it's fair to him in that situation.
And particularly given his confidentiality of his current role, I think after we hire
somebody and then we see if there's a gap, I'd love to have Michael in here for that. What we talked about.
Right. I think that makes sense, too.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have Ethan coming in, and he's kind of the number one on most of our lists.
By standard deviation.
And you can use that term.
Yeah.
And then we're going to check Patrick's references.
Yes.
And then we're going to...
And on references, I think that's wise if you could go back a congregation, if you can find
some. I know a guy at Wichita that... works with the children's home there.
Always knows a guy.
Yeah, he does, man.
That's the only guy I know there.
People, I didn't even recognize anybody. Yeah.
He knows somebody.
We'll check that out. But do we call Michael and Josh and tell them no?
I would call Josh.
Yeah. I think with Michael, Is it a no, or is it, well, maybe we're saying no.
This isn't the season.
This isn't for this position.
For this position, yeah.
And I would say the better, like the earlier the better, because I've been in that position where I'm like waiting to hear.
I know,
I'm
we
like,
don't need to, we should have called Josh last week. Last week.
And on Michael, I think that could be a delicate conversation because we're still trying to sell this thing. You know, you're not the senior minister, but we see a lot in you. And you know, after we hire this person, we're going to fill some gaps and, you know, want you to, you know. So if we find somebody who can say that, that would be great.
Yeah. Because I wouldn't even bring that up until you have a real timeline. I mean, because, like, you don't want to say, hey, we're not going to give you this role, but we have this other role, but we don't know when we're going to hire for this other role, right? It makes us seem a little wishy-washy.
Yeah, but, Okay.
Brad, what are your ideas?
I'm a hard no on Patrick, so, you know, that's where I'm at right now. You guys want to flesh it out and see what else is there, that's fine, but I would just pass it at this point. And I think let's bring in one person and see how it goes.
Patrick overuses proper nouns. It's a pet peeve of mine. It's like, dude, stop it.
Jeremiah, when we were brainstorming about part-time for children and doing other things, you got a little animated there, and I wonder if you want to share your opinion about that scenario.
Yeah. Thank I was just going to wait until you got to the children's minister search to give my feedback. I'm just going to be real. I don't like the mindset of the part-time position. And the reason I say that is we have been trying to be more intentional with, like, this ministry that's growing. And we're saying we're doing all of this stuff for our next-gen ministries. And we are the church of the next-gen ministries, that bringing someone in part-time can kind of make them lose focus on what. And I started to notice that was real with all I kind of shared with these two for my exit interview. Like all the other things that I was doing was kind of taking my focus off of the real reason I was here. Does that make sense? And so I think adding in, I love the idea of, like, I do believe that there needs to be an outreach minister. And I felt like in some moments I was doing that with, like, the adopt a school and these other things. And we had a conversation at one point where y'all said, like, we'd like for you to do something like that. And I'm like, yeah, no, I want to stay in my lane that I feel like the Lord is saying yes to. And so that would be my hesitation that, I mean, and I read kind of Ross's survey that he sent out for the children's ministry search. And I just think, going back to the mindset of how intentional do we want this position to be? Do we want to see the growth of our children? It's not a secondary thing. Does that make sense? And so splitting that time may be hard. Okay. Hopefully that was clear.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
Nope. Steve, that's good.
Faith in Action, I just put that on here that, again, just keep that in front of us, April the 21st, and I think we're going to do a work day here, and you're going to have some projects for us.
Yeah.
We're going to get some ideas from maybe some of our widow ladies and to see if there's anything there that we can meld into that. We'll probably start talking about it pretty soon. I guess it's April 1st, so we need to start.
Just as a little brag on Dawn, I'm over at Mary Jo's, and she's like, yeah, you just got to see the kitchen. You got to see the kitchen. So she's got the kitchen floor, you know, and her and Bob had kind of argued about what to do and what not to do with all this. And then Don came in, and I don't know, was it Keaton and you?
Keaton
and redid that, and just how meaningful that was to her. So then a couple days later, I'm over at Dolores's. And Dolores is like, oh, you got to come in and see the bathroom. Yes. So she's showing me the bathroom. And I'm like, okay, I was started out, we're going to do the floor. But then Don said, no, we got to do the cabinetry too. Yes. And then this wall color is bad. And so they changed it. So I took her picture with in the bathroom.
It looks so really great.
Looks great. Yeah. It looks great. Good but job. I'm just saying, wow, those things are meaningful, yeah. Unforgettable.
Yeah.
It's the church in its very best form.
Yeah.
And he's going over to Kay Heinz's this week.
Oh, that's good. That's great. Wow. That's
Would
good.
You bring up the bathroom? I forgot that they have all those people at my house. We have a bathroom that's not working yet, so I bet we need to find another place other than
our house. Oh, shoot.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Could you just bring in an outhouse for us?
Yeah.
Could you just step it up a little bit?
I'm trying to. I think it'll be ready. Susan said no way we'll be ready, so I don't know.
Get down over there.
That's
you got those nice...
My plumber, he said he was going to come over this week. I haven't heard from him. And my Tyler will be done Wednesday.
Looks nice.
Yeah. I was hoping to get some details on Faith in Action just so I can go ahead and make the graphic for it. We can start advertising.
I'm happy to get to you, but it's basically, and you kind of, you know, we want to keep the spirit of what it was before, where we're working with in homes, okay, with our widows and others in need. I say widows, but it goes beyond that. And then we'll also have a contingency that will be here at the building.
Okay,
helping with building related projects.
Is there like a time frame? Is there a meal or anything?
Well, let's take a look. We can take a look. You open, Don, whatever. I can't think it's after Bible class, and we'll have a meal, I think, is what we decided.
Quick pizza.
And then it's, but release people as soon as possible so it doesn't become an all-day thing.
Okay. So not put like a time frame on it, maybe just to...
probably wouldn't put a time
frame on it.
Did we do a flyer before?
Yeah.
For the November one, we said 12 to 2.
We did 12 to 2.
And we did pretty close to that.
Pretty close.
Yeah, we say 12 to 3 just to be sure. But
yeah.
People
yeah.
just... finish up and
bring put two and then go someone will go with three.
Give folks permission to dress down
but thanks for asking, and Nathan's been doing a great job. Talk about distracting him off his main job, but he does really good with the graphics and all, and mm-hmm. it's helping a lot.
Mm-hmm. Steve can bring one of his rakes or something too if you want to take a picture of it. Rockington's.
Yep. So just quick update. So they were here 2 weeks ago, and so the missions committee met with them for lunch at Hacienda and had a good chat with them, trying to understand really what they're planning. So what we told them is that really they should be working on individuals. We're not going to support them like as a church itself, at least as of right now. Their goal is to, so they were actually, the organization that they work for offered it to them, because they know that they have been multiple other places. Hmm. And so this is a new hospital that they're trying to build, a clinic there in Honduras.
Hmm.
So it's something a bit different, because they've always gone somewhere that there was an existing medical facility. And so there's people already on in Honduras. And so they're going to be visiting this year, I think in July or something like that. Other than that, then... the plan is that probably February timeframe they would move down there, start language learning, and then there's a clinic that's already sort of close by that they'll work at for a while until the hospital location is finished.
Doesn't happen to be Prednisone, does it?
No, it is not. So, and that's because you know, so you remember Prednisone had been in charge of the whole country at one point, and then they had an uprising, flipped governments. Prednisone is still there, but they've lost their national ranking.
They don't have the leverage they did,
right. Yeah, so, but it's on the other side of the country from where our groups have always gone, so the northeast of the capital.
Did they seem to receive all that from us, okay, or could
you tell? Yeah, they're good, and so they're just trying to get a a feeling from everybody around right now. So some of their original places, people had not been interested necessarily. So which is a struggle.
I think they might be back through St. Louis in October. Correct. And depending on how many individual supporters they have, they might very well want to do the same thing again and yep. connect with those individuals yep. that way. But the missions committee feels like a more of an evangelical focus than a medical focus makes more sense for what we're trying to support consistently. The Brockingtons have been in Malawi, Kenya, Alabama, now Honduras.
Three, four countries. Pretty much three years.
And Alabama, really. Three years in each thing. That was interesting, just as an aside. Yeah. It kind of felt like, you know, they were called to that, it was a fine work, and it was kind of a respite for them. Sometimes missionaries come back home for a while as a deliberate respite before they go to the field, and ultimately they felt like as a practical matter, that's kind of what this was for them, because they felt the call to the field again. And when they let their sponsoring organization know that, they're like, well, there's this thing going on in Honduras, and they were drawn very much to that work. That's kind of
Malawi, they raised a bunch of money for the house that they were going to live in, and it seemed like it was going to be a long-term thing, and they didn't stay but more than a year or so.
Definitely. It's been one of those things that the jumping has been very, we've been very conscientious of that, I think would be a good way.
Yeah.
So, but and right now, they did not give us any numbers, so anything other than that. And maybe in their letter they did. I don't remember seeing it in there. So I usually keep an eye on budget things. So, but
I think we are comfortable if they would like to send something to the congregation or put something in the bulletin. Hey, here's their website. If you want more info, you just want to, you know, if you see that, that's kind of the context of where we're coming from. Because there are some individuals, and the church has responded to their requests for support before. When they were needing some ultrasound equipment or something like that, you know, they were hoping to buy one. They, you know, bought two. So that was cool. So, thanks.
Okay, children's minister update. Neither Walker or Brown are here, so.
You know, they sent out the survey last week. That they showed us the week before.
And Ross sent some responses to us.
Oh, did he?
Yes. There's six responses.
Oh, I didn't see the email.
When did you send the new one?
Must have been just tonight.
Yeah, he sent it earlier.
Yeah, I looked at the email this afternoon. So I know that they sent that. And then, I don't know, they were supposed to have been putting the advertisement somewhere. Was my understanding, but I had not heard anything more past Sunday. Sunday I didn't get to talk to Ross. Okay. I talked to him Wednesday.
Sounded like he was going to be in touch with all the schools.
Yes, that was their plan, that they each were going to get divvy them up and start posting them. But because I think once we saw the advertisement, they were pretty, we were the final saying yes. And so we made our comments and then they were going to update.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, I really don't even have a desire to talk about the ladies' bathroom in the directory.
Did we?
Is there anything there?
I think the bathroom's done. It's all good.
Okay.
I didn't do any more on the directory, so that's the answer there.
Okay.
So what table that one?
All right. Any other business that we need to talk about?
One prayer request, I forgot to put it in, is I got an email today, or text today from his daughter, but John Buck, did any of y'all know John Buck? Mm-hmm. He died this morning.
No way. Mm.
So he had pancreatic cancer and it was going, looking really good, and then he got septic this last week, and then
he died. Was he out in California?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He grew up in Southside, was converted there, and it was about a 2-year period. There were six ministers going to Harding to train. It was really something.
Then he preached at Maplewood for a long time.
Yeah.
Led camp. So that's where I met John originally. Right.
Okay, yeah.
One of his counselors.
Is he a real big guy?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He was here around the time we started. So that was 2007. Mm-hmm. He was going to Mid County. So him and Brenda were going there for probably maybe a year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Maybe not that long because he was doing some preaching. And then he was working with the company ACN that I had worked with as well.
Yeah.
And so then after that, something happened. Maybe it was either Brenda's mom or his mom died. Mm-hmm. And then after that, they moved to California.
Yeah. Brenda's mom died about 7 years ago.
So that's probably what it was. Yeah. So it was probably when Brenda's mom died that they moved to California because Jamie had already moved out there.
Yeah.
Did you say pancreatic?
Yeah.
Shoot.
So need to pray for that family when we conclude.
But one more comment. It's about Patrick, but it's about the process. And you know, I was thinking about this and, you know, praying about it, and it's something Carson said when we talked with him. And, you know, he said, our job is not to find what's best for Jeff Kreider or for this minister. It's what's best for the church. And so, you know, again, I think, you know, Patrick may find healing here. But again, I'm just thinking, okay, what is the right thing for the church? And so I've been praying a lot about that too, because I do think that's important for us to keep in mind as well. So, you know, I think Patrick may be a good guy with a lot of potential, but, you know, what does McKnight need right now? So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting, because even if he was telling the truth, so say everything he said was completely truth, his healing is not done. And he's so far from that, which that makes it very interesting comment.
And that doesn't count, not to try to throw cold water on it all, kind of like we are here, but that doesn't, he didn't say anything about his wife. And he's got 3 kids, 2 in high school or early in college.
So one's going to start next year.
There's just a lot of family dynamics potentially that would need to be explored. I would say you just cannot look at that as one individual any more than we could Shane Hines when he was fired. That had such an impact on all of the family, on all the kids, on their way they looked at the church. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's many layers there that I suspect he's contending with.
Yeah. Boy, and this is kind of off that subject, but a guy like that, how does he heal and get another job, another ministry job? That's tough, man. That's tough.
Okay, next meeting is April 15th.
Working on my taxes.
Yeah.
And we'll pick up there. So there being no other business.
Mm. Gavel.
Brad, would you lead us in a closing prayer?
Father God, we come before you and we lay it all at your feet.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I pray that you would give us the signs of what we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Help us to have spiritual ears and be able to discern.
Mm-hmm. Right, mm-hmm. Yes.
I pray, Father, for this church and a special blessing upon Jeremiah as he changes locations, but we just lift him up to you.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Ask you to continue to bless him as we know you will. Thank you for all that you do for us. It's in Jesus we ask. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
He said, I thought he was going to say, Weiler? As he changes his
Dave.
Mind.
Can I get 5 minutes?
That's right. I was going to say,
it took everything to in me today not to write up an April Fool's resignation letter.
Oh,
I was like,
that would not have gone well.
I said, I'm going to give one of the elders a heart attack.
No,
not
have
no.
April Fool's beating.
I might have expected
jail. I
would have
done an April Fool's recovery
resignation.